All right, well, let's get into the lesson. You have the which version? I'm interested to see what that looks like. So look up Revelation 21, 22 and just hold it. Then somebody else that has a regular version. What do you have, Jim?
New Century.
I don't want to use that. Who has a King... Well, I don't know what it says. Who has the King James, Revised King James? Okay, Randy. Look up Revelation 21, 22 and just hold it. Okay. This morning we're going to talk about the sanctuary. So, I think there's going to be more questions than answers today, but that's fine because... Unlike the Greek teacher I had in college, you know, the real concept of teaching is let the student come up with the answer, not the answer that the teacher wants. That just makes sense to me, but obviously to some university professors, they never understood that concept. So, but in order to do today's lesson, there are three names of God that I want to reacquaint you with because they're going to play an important part. The first one is Elohim. Elohim means, I have made you and I will never leave you. So have that in mind. Elohim, I will never leave you. The second one is Yahweh. Yahweh says, because I want a relationship with you, I have to point out anything that separates us, but I'll immediately give you a way back. And then the third one is El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the many-breasted one. And he's simply saying, I have enough nourishment to feed anybody in all people. Nobody's left out. And that one is Lord God Almighty. So every time you see Lord God Almighty, that is El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, who says, I have all the nourishment that you'll ever need, and I have enough nourishment to feed everybody. Now, kind of remember those because they play a part. Now, my first question, before the Garden of Eden, was there a sanctuary in heaven?
I say, yeah.
I say, okay. And how do you visualize that being a sanctuary in heaven?
Similar to a church.
Pardon?
Similar to a church.
Similar to a church, okay. Who else? I heard somebody else say something.
Original blueprint.
Pardon?
Original blueprint God gave us.
It is what? Okay. So was that sanctuary in heaven before Garden of Eden? Okay. Who else wants to jump in?
I didn't think there was a need for one.
Pardon?
I didn't think there was a need for one before sin.
Do they teach this kind of stuff over in Fort Worth? Who else wants to jump in? Selma?
Christ is a sanctuary.
Okay.
Are you talking about the building or the person?
I've just asked.
Safety.
Everybody knows how this class works. I ask the questions, I don't answer them.
We've got to identify the same.
I understand that. We'll come to that. That's why you're going to be quiet. Or else we'll be out of here at 10:40. Was there a building called the sanctuary in heaven before the Garden of Eden?
No.
I got a no. I got a yes. I got a we didn't need it. I got a blueprint. How about this side? Y'all haven't said anything.
I think we should take a vote. That will decide.
Nah, these people won't vote. They're neutral. Was there? Pardon? That's not the question. The question is there a building called the sanctuary in heaven before the Garden of Eden? Pardon?
I said, are there any buildings?
Yeah.
I don't answer questions. I ask questions.
I can't imagine that there was a brick and mortar structure in heaven.
Okay.
I cannot see it.
Okay. All right.
But we're told that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Was that the question? Stay with the question. Man, I should have been a lawyer. Okay, let's keep that. But by the way, if the sanctuary is the only thing that we have that differentiates, hope that's the correct word, us from other religions, because we are the only one that has the sanctuary message, then shouldn't we understand it from top to bottom?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's a fair question. Do you visualize a sanctuary in heaven before the fall? If you do, then a fair question would be, what is its function? All right, now let's move to an easier one. The Garden of Eden. In order to understand how God works, and Rob does a great job on this with Yahweh, but he gets to teach next week on something that he likes, so I get to teach this week on this one. So I got to use the Garden of Eden experience. What was the relationship between Adam and Eve and God before the fall in the Garden of Eden?
Perfect?
What's perfect mean?
Pardon?
Personal. Okay? And how do you visualize that relationship in the Garden of Eden?
They talk face to face.
Got to speak up.
They talk face to face.
Face to face.
Daily.
Okay?
Interacted all the time.
Is that the best way to have a relationship?
Yes.
Why, absolutely. Ever try to have a long distance romance? No. Had a little girl, I was a senior in high school, broke up with me, and I'm in Denver, she's in Oklahoma, and man, I figured out the problem just like that. She missed me. She needed to see me. And so I'd get a bus ticket, go to Oklahoma, knock on the door. Here I am, and she says, and I quote, "What part of I didn't want to see or hear from you again did you miss?" Face to face. Now I'm learning something in business as I started figuring out how that stupid computer stuff works. Man, emails are dangerous. Because you have nothing except words. You don't know if the person's mad, kidding, laughing. Means what they say. But see, face to face, you get to see that. You have interaction. And God's greatest desire has been on a one-to-one relationship. And when He had a perfect garden, perfect relationship, it was He who came down in the evening and visited with Adam and Eve every day. And oh, how they looked forward to that. Now, Eve wanders away. Comes to a tree, and there's the serpent. By the way, would you say the Garden of Eden was a sanctuary?
Yes.
Got a yes, strong yes. Leroy? Got a strong yes. So, now, got a fair question, because I only ask fair questions. Now, do we have two sanctuaries? Do we have a sanctuary in the Garden of Eden and a sanctuary in heaven? We do. And so God's busy going back and forth from His two homes. Okay. And what was the function of the one in heaven? What was the function? Fair. You don't have to answer it. Just think about it. What was the function of the one in heaven before the fall?
From what I understand, the first man that God ever made was Satan. And actually, his name was Lucifer at the time. And his sole position was to instruct the angels in worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when he did that, what he decided with his pride and whatnot, he could get them to worship God, that he could get them to worship him.
Okay.
As far as saying, so something I've always wanted to bring to point out is God knows what everybody's thinking, and all everybody around the world at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't need to be moving from here to there and all this and that.
Okay. Okay. But it is important that we have a home for him up there, and now we have a home for him down here. Okay? Now, in the Garden of Eden, Eve wanders away. She sees the serpent, and what's the serpent doing?
Eating.
And talking. Gets the attention. Now, this is where the names of God become very important. He says to Eve, has Elohim... Now, what's the meaning of Elohim? I will never leave you. I made you and I will never leave you. Has Elohim forbid you to eat of this fruit? Paraphrasing, a great paraphraser. And he says, look at me. Well, I'm eating it. And I'm not dead. Why didn't he use the name of Yahweh? Because Yahweh must point out anything that separates and immediately gives a cure. See, he didn't use that name. He used, has God, the one that says he'll never leave you. Well, he's misled you. He's lied to you. And we know what happened. Now that day, in the cool of the evening, after they had partaken of eating of the fruit, who comes along?
God.
And what's his attitude? Now, good question. Does he come stomping? Does he come yelling? How do you think he hollered out, Adam, Eve, where are you? Pardon?
He knew where they were.
Well, certainly. He knows everything. How do you think he said that? Certainly. Same attitude, same God. Just like he always did. Now, what's Adam and Eve doing? Why?
Their eyes were open.
They were guilty. They felt.
Their eyes were open.
Open to what?
To sin.
What does that mean? I agree with it, but what does that mean?
That means that they did that it was undesirable to God. They did what was undesirable to God.
They realized.
Realized what?
That they had done something.
They broke the relationship.
They're separated.
So who's mad at who? Is God mad at him?
No.
Pardon?
He might be disappointed, but he's not mad.
Adam was mad at Eve.
Yeah.
And he was mad at Adam because he didn't communicate. See, she was not that mean.
Yeah.
God was not disappointed because of God, you know, beginning and the end.
Hey, now let's think about that. I have a granddaughter that I know the beginning from the end of what's going to happen in her life. So you tell me when it happens tomorrow, I'm not disappointed?
But she knew what was going to happen.
Still hurts. Still hurts.
That's right, but she knew. She knows everything. The plan of salvation before Satan was made.
I understand that. Still hurts.
I think it's real interesting, and of course, we all know that God is better than brilliant, but I think it's real interesting, and I've always wanted to point this out, that when God made Lucifer, there's some three stones missing from his breastplate.
Okay, I'm not interested. I'm running out of time. I appreciate that. Let's stay on focused on what we're focused on. What was God's attitude?
Same attitude.
It's his child. Both of them. So he comes along, Adam, Eve, just like he did every day. What did you hide from me? We were naked. Well, who told you were naked? Then they start the blame game. Now, here's the picture of God in his sanctuary. Because the Garden of Eden is a sanctuary. The picture that I used to show when I sold the Bible storybooks was a full-colored, four-colored picture of the Garden of Eden with an angel. And I used to show this because I used to say, see, this is what happens when you have sin. There's an angel standing there in the garden. What's he doing with his sword? Anybody seen the picture?
Blocking
the garden. Ready to strike. This is why Rob does such a beautiful job on Yahweh. The reality of it is when you read it in the Hebrew and you look at it, there first of all were two angels. And in between them was a light that shined as if it was a dangling sword turning and whirling. What was that light? And what does that mean?
Radiance of God.
And what does that mean? Connect the dots. Where else do you see the Shekinah glory in two angels?
In the ark.
On the ark. So what do you think the two angels and the Shekinah glory at the entrance of the Garden of Eden was?
Presence.
Absolutely. And guess who came there every day?
They came and worshiped there.
Every day.
Yes. And I want to say something because Eve was deceived. Saying she wasn't has caused women many, many troubles through the centuries because that was not true. Eve was deceived. Adam was not.
Not here to split theological hairs. I have no problem with what you said, but that's not what I'm here for today. God's presence was there. Do you know until the flood that every children of Israel could come to the garden and worship God there? Because God wants to be where His children are.
Amen.
He couldn't show them the full glory. He couldn't do what He wanted to do. But He did the best. And so every day, they could come to the east garden gate at the Garden of Eden. And there they met with God. And He met with them. And they worshiped until the flood came and wiped it all off. Now I want to look at where a physical sanctuary shows up. By the way, when God cast them out, took them out. By the way, you got to listen to Rob's sermon. He took them, Adam and Eve, by the hand. He led them to the entrance of the garden. And He did it with tears running down His eyes. Disappointed, heartbroken, crushed. Because He could not have the relationship with His children that He wanted. That will break any parent's heart.
Amen.
Now, let's look at the physical sanctuary. We've got to go to Exodus. God stands before the people in Exodus, and who took care of them in the desert? Who gave them air conditioning? Who gave them a furnace at night? Who gave them water? Who fed them? God did everything. Who delivered them? God. And so finally he says, Moses, bring the people to the mountain. I'd like to address my children. And he starts to show them his glory, his character. What did Moses do? He went to the mountain. What did the children of Israel do? They ran. They ran. Same God, one who knows Him walks right to Him. Those that don't know Him run from Him. And then Moses comes down from the mountain, and his face is aglow. He's happy. He's got real go. And what do the people say to Moses? We don't want to talk to him. You talk to him. Ever had your kids, grandkids, great-grandkids put that one on you? And so God's crushed. By the way, the children of Israel had cried out when he said, "Are you ready to follow me?" They had cried out, "Yeah, absolutely, we're ready. Rah, 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 let's get it on." Now they said, "We don't even want to talk to him. You talk to him and then tell us." Wow. And what was God's answer to that request? What did he say to Moses? Build what? Build what? Why? Do you get the picture? Do you get the picture? Look, I want to lead them directly. I want to talk to them directly. I'm going to reveal who I am. Come to the mountain and let me share with you. You're 11 days away from the promised land. So come to the mountain and I'm going to show you, when you know who I am and you let me in your life and you let me guide you and be in your hearts, I'm going to show you what you're going to become like. Well, you won't even think about having another God before me. Amen. And man, you'll love to spend time with me. In fact, I set aside a day. Just me and you. I try date night with Sue every 4 years. She forgets. See? Just me and you. That's what God wants. But they said what? No. And then God does what He always does. Goes to plan B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. How many plans has He gone to in your life? You think God comes in to our lives with a plan A and no plan B? C, D, E? Some of us have gone through the alphabet twice. So then He goes to another plan and He says, okay. Build a sanctuary. Put it in the center. You don't want me this way. I can't talk to you how I want to face to face. You have said you don't even want to visit with me. So, build me a sanctuary. Put it in the middle. And everything you do that day, at least you'll know I'm there. I'm waiting. Now, my next question is, when life is over and we go to heaven, will there be a sanctuary in heaven at the end of time? Got a yeah? What will be the function?
To worship God.
Will there be a most holy and a holy place? Will there be a little deal representing the Holy Spirit that we... Will there be 8-foot walls or 100-foot walls? Revelation 21:22, in the clear word written by Seventh-day Adventist, which is a good guy. I'm just interested to see how he put it. I deliberately didn't look it up because I'd like to be surprised.
I did not see any temple in the New Jerusalem because there was no need of a temple, since God and the Lamb were personally there. The temple or sanctuary I had expected to see was located outside the city as a reminder of what God had done.
Okay, now the last part is his interpretation.
Yeah.
Very strong interpretation. All right, Mill, read what the Word says.
And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in the temple of it.
Okay. See, the rest of it's added. That's very important. I love the clear word for reading. And the gentleman that wrote it is God-given talent, but it's his interpretation. That's not in there. John says, I looked at the time of the end into heaven, and there was no temple. What was the reason there was no temple? For Lord God Almighty, who is that? El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, the one that has everything for us, he was there himself. So I've got to ask a fair question. Temple was torn, AD 70, never rebuilt. So we have two choices. Now I understand, and you're exactly right, God's everywhere. I understand that. Do we have him in a compartment in heaven, Jesus on a time clock, tick, 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 waiting to 1844, to move from one to the other? Or where do you think God is today, and what sanctuary is he in? What did you think about that? Where is he today? And in what sanctuary is he in? Well, Leroy, I'm ready for you to identify it. Ready. Go ahead.
Well, Paul identified very well that your body is the temple of God. Now, if your body is the temple of God, what is the most important part of that temple?
Mind and heart. Where does God want? What is God's, when everything was perfect, what was God's ultimate desire in a relationship with his children?
One-on-one.
One-on-one. Do you think that's changed?
No.
So a fair question is, I only ask fair questions, do you want to put him in a compartment? Or do you want to put him where he's wanted to be all the time? In your life, in your mind, in your heart. Revelation says, behold, I stand at the where?
Door.
door and I do what?
Knock.
Why didn't he say, behold, I stand in my sanctuary and I'm waiting for you to knock? Don't ever think that you pursue God. Man, He's been pursuing you before you were born. Yes?
Thank you. You really cleared something up for me today about sanctuary, but I do have a question. So, you really helped me understand about the need for the earthly sanctuary. So now, can you help me understand what was the need for the heavenly sanctuary? Because I know that the earthly sanctuary was patterned after the heavenly sanctuary.
Where do you get that text?
Not a text, it's just something I always heard that.
Well, go back and read Exodus and find that text that says it was patterned after the heavenly sanctuary in heaven. Go back and find it.
Right, I'm asking.
Well, I'm sharing with you. I'm not going to give you answers. What's the rule? Neil, what's the rule? I just ask them. Go back and read Exodus 20 to 24, 25, and find the text that says it's patterned after the heavenly pattern in heaven. Find it. Right? Now it says heavenly. I'm going to show you heavenly, but it doesn't find the word pattern. And then email Rob. You see, I want you to think. Your salvation is not pivotal on this. Thank God. Only concern I have is your picture of God. That's my concern. And when you go through the sanctuary, if you take it literally that all these things have to happen and it's all that, that's very legalistic. To say that God looks at Ron, I pick on Ronnie, he's a nice guy and he knows it because I've told him 100 times he is a nice guy. I admire him. Haven't I told you Ron's a nice guy, Sue? All the time. He is. See? To think that Ron stands before God on a judgment day and God says, Ron, I remember on time at Keene, you deliberately fouled Ernie in a basketball game and your heart was happy about it. And you loved to see him fall to the ground. So I can't have anything to do with you. And then Jesus comes and says, but I shed my blood for him. And then God says, oh, well, I really don't like him. But because you did something nice for him, come and spend eternity with me. How do you feel? Ross, I can't stand you, but because Diane says you're a nice guy, let's me and you go hunting the next 2 days. Yeah. Do you see? That's my passion of where we put God. God will do whatever it takes to talk to man on his level to get his attention. When the children came out of Egypt, children of Israel, what were they? Brilliant? Slaves. Intellectual? You know, we would say they're the dumbest bunch of people we've ever seen in the world. They're brought out of slavery by a miracle. They get to the Red Sea. They begin to whine. God opens the sea. They go through. Now the Egyptians are going through, so they whine some more. And God lets the water come back over. And then they whine because they're thirsty. They whine because they're hungry. They whine, 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 and whine, and whine. We would say they're the dumbest bunch of people that we've ever seen. Well, what has God done in our lives?
He's not much different than them.
not much different than them, and we whine and whine and whine and why me? Why, how this happened? How could this be? Do you know what that lady at church did to me? Do you know that woman 5 years ago told me she didn't like the shoes and didn't think it matched my dress? I like to pick on women. That's just my nature. You see what I'm saying? We think they're stupid. And so God did what He does when we go to kindergarten. He gives us a flannel graph story. I went to see Dallas Holm. I like Dallas Holm, even though he doesn't want anything to do with our ministry. That's another story. But I like Dallas Holm. And he said it, when he was a little kid, he went to flannel graph, and one day there was Joseph. And then the next Sunday, the guy was Peter. And then the next Sunday, he was out. He got confused. Same guy, different names. God says in the wilderness to His slave, dumb children, I've got to give you a flannel graph story to get it down on your level. Well, thank God we don't need flannel graph stories. We need to listen to what's knocking on our heart. And by the way, He says, I knock on the door. What's His objective? Come in and do what? Yeah. Sup. Greek word means stay long time, not just a meal. I want to stay in your heart. Now go back and read Paul with this in mind and see where he talks about our bodies are a living what? And start figuring out the sanctuary. God wants to be in a sanctuary. Absolutely, it's His greatest desire. When He's working with dumb people, He said, put me in the center, at least you know I'm there. And by the way, when you leave, I mean, look how gracious God is. When you leave, pick me up. You ever think about that? God says, pick me up and carry me right along with you. That's how much God loves and cares for you. Get that. Children of Israel, picking God up and saying, okay, let's go the next 6 miles. Will somebody bring God with us? Wow. And we think this is the greatest thing ever. Salvation is a personal thing. Church a sanctuary? Could be. 2 weeks from now, we're going to a Baptist church to present Knowing God's Ministry. Am I going to inform them that the sanctuary is in Arlington, but it's not there in that town? Why are you laughing? Oh, it's in Fort Worth. Yeah, I see. Yeah. Well, we just got God moving around. See? How arrogant. I believe this church is blessed. I believe this church has an insight. I believe this church has a message. But the devil will do everything he can to get us off into any tangent other than the greatest news that Jesus came to give to the people. I'm going to show you who God is. Amen. And until we do that, if the sanctuary is the one thing that separates us from any other denomination, my opinion, shame on us. I tell you what I'd like to see separate us from every denomination. Boy, those people know God. I've never seen a kinder, gentler group of people that help and show love out in the community, telling them how much God loves them and how much He can love me. when that defines our church, then we have a message. Hesitated on this lesson, believe me. I want you to think about God. I want you to read what's there. Then I want you to look at how He works in your life. And then you put God, if you need to, as heavenly sanctuary. I have no problems with that. I think it might be better if you need Him in your heart, though. Because that's where I hear the knocking. Father in heaven, You never give us the answers. You never take the puzzle and put in every piece. Even Jesus didn't speak very plain. Just told parables. Asked, what do you think? How long have you been here? What have you seen? John the Baptist came and said, Lord, are you the Messiah? Well, what have you seen happen today? Go back and tell John. So we're not here this morning for answers. We're here wanting to study more and more the depth of your love. You gave the children of Israel a sanctuary for a reason. Help us to find that reason and take the principles and bring them into our heart. One thing I do know, you could dwell, God, wherever you wanted to, but you chose to live in our hearts. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.